The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt on Wednesday, July the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2021. We begin with breaking news out of Haiti. Many of you I know have visited Haiti, probably in a missionary capacity. I know a lot of people who have repeatedly returned as youth groups or as adult workers to assist the people of Haiti. Before, during, and after the earthquake of a decade ago, the president of Haiti assassinated this morning. So there are reports on Reuters and the Daily Beast and others. His name is Jovenel Moïse, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He was elected in 2017, so I don't know if he was in re-election. There have been many disputes about his status, but always terrible to have an assassination of a head of state like that. And we will follow that story as it develops over the morning. In New York City, there is a mayor, Eric Adams. He is projected as the winner of the New York Democratic mayoral primary. He's not the new mayor. It's just overwhelmingly likely that he will be the mayor. And Eric Adams won by 1% after that crazy system. And there will be controversy for a long time. 50.5 to 49.5 over Ms. Garcia, who was similarly close over Ms. Wiley in the second round. So I expect recounts and recalls and all sorts of oodles of fun. And it's been 2 weeks, I think, since they voted there. Not surprising. Democrats run everything there. So we'll just see what happens thereafter. The biggest story of the day yesterday, as the rundown commences, the Pentagon announced that the enormous Jedi contract, estimated at least $10 billion, it would have been much more. Once they build a cloud for the Pentagon, national security is so tied into a cloud that operates and is secure, unlikely it would ever be rebid or replaced. It's not like a fighter. It's not like a ship. There's not going to be a next-generation cloud. There is the cloud, and once it's done, and the people who built it and who secured it and who have been cleared to do so are no doubt going to stay in that. Microsoft had won the first contract. Amazon and Oracle immediately challenged. The litigation is ongoing. The Pentagon was winning, sort of, but it was just going to be an endless bit of litigation. They canceled the contract yesterday. Amazon went up $160 a share on the anticipation they will share in the spoils of this, as well as other technical reasons. In fact, I will do my first market report right now in order that you be brought up to speed on the fact that yesterday, and this is brought to you by Birch Gold. Visit HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. If you want to buy gold, and you should want to buy some gold because we're going to have inflation, and when you have inflation, you want to own gold. Gold went up to $1,797 yesterday as the 10-year Treasury dropped to 1.37%. So home buying is going to ratchet up again as interest rates on a 30-year mortgage went down. That means the price of homes are going to inflate, which means the cost of building a home is going to inflate, which means that gold is going to go up because inflation is gold's friend. And we are about to pass, I don't know, another $1 trillion. It depends on what they jam into reconciliation that the Democrats will do on their own. Yesterday, the Dow went down 208 and the NASDAQ went up 24. Amazon, as I mentioned to you, went up $163, I believe, on Tuesday, a share, which is almost 5% unheard of, $164.76 a share, almost unheard of jump of nearly 5%. With another good day, anticipated too early to say what will happen today to gold, to Amazon, or to anything. But when a big contract like this is canceled, the winners are those who had previously lost. Now, the Pentagon has declared there are at least five people who can compete for this. Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Oracle. There's another one. I'm IBM. In my view, they ought to simply make them, by terms of the contract, compete in teams of at least two and not more than three companies so as to make sure the infrastructure is reliable and redundant and secure, and give them a set time. This is every other company in the world has adapted the cloud that needs the cloud. And the Pentagon, of course, is bidding it. So we've got to get moving on this thing. As the United States national interest comes forward, This would be a legacy for Joe Biden and Ron Klain and everyone over at the White House to get this done, Secretary Austin. Get it done and move. Go Manhattan Project. Go full on. New York Times reports the Taliban is trying to polish their image. Good luck with that. I've got five stories on the Jedi cancellation, and I've told you all you need to know about it. It's important. It's got to be done, and it's screwed up. Nicole Hannah Jones, the controversial lead writer of the 1619 Project, has joined the Howard faculty, even though the University of North Carolina eventually offered her tenure. She chose Howard, upset with UNC Chapel Hill, her alma mater, and said she would not join the UNC faculty on CBS this morning, calling it a difficult decision and not a decision she wanted to make. The Pulitzer Prize winner said she believed the decision to tenure her at UNC was delayed because of political opposition to her work and discrimination against her as a Black woman. I certainly think the former was a category. A couple of stories from over the weekend. Random shootings are always the worst sort. Every shooting death is a tragedy. But here we have a University of Chicago 20-year-old student riding the Green Line downtown for his summer internship. Max Solomon Lewis shot and killed on the subway. Here we have a golf pro in a Georgia country club who said, "What's that white pickup truck doing on my golf course?" Wandered into an active double murder and was himself murdered. Just stories like this make you realize life is very fragile, very short. Hug the people that you love. There is also an important story, one that really is decisive. I'm going to come back to it in the third segment today and maybe the second. Good news, the weddings are back on. Bad news, you have to go to all of them. No, you don't. You don't have to go to all of them. Send them, you know what, go to Birch Gold at HughGold.com. Buy them a maple leaf. Buy them an American Eagle. Buy them a Krugerrand. Put it in an envelope and say, "Can't join you. This is what it would have cost us to come." Put this in your safety deposit box and give it to your grandkids. Who knows what it'll be worth by that point with the way the currency is going. HughGold.com. Finally, this morning, I have a piece in the Washington Post on the Supreme Court. It's in the print edition. It's the online edition. You get it no matter whether you get the paper on your doorstep, in the Beltway, or anywhere in the United States that you're listening to me, from Hawaii to Florida, up into Canada, in fact. This is the last Supreme Court roundup that you're going to need to read right here. I'm holding it up if you're watching me on YouTube. Yesterday on the interview with Hugh Hewitt, my long-form podcast, with Steve Vladeck and Jonathan Adler, professors respectively at the University of Texas Law School and Case Western Reserve. Steve from the left, Jonathan from the right there, the smart guys 2.0. We had a long review of the term, and I mentioned that I was putting this in the paper today in the Post, and it's my conclusion in the term just completed. The U.S. Supreme Court took a gentle but decisive curve to the right, likely to be one of many such turns to come. The court has been remade since Antonin Scalia's death in 2016, and the prime architect was a Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell. McConnell with three assists from former President Donald Trump. McConnell made the decisive pivot by holding open the seat vacated by Scalia's death and then leading the confirmation of Trump's three Supreme Court nominees, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. The court and the military are the most important institutions of government for center-right voters in the country. The armed services protect from enemies outside, and the court holds back the behemoth of the federal government and protects liberties of individual citizens from all levels of government. And then I tick off decision after decision, Fulton and Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn protecting free exercise, Brnovich in Arizona protecting the right of states to control their voting, free speech upheld in Americans for Prosperity Foundation versus Bonta in California, property rights upheld in Cedar Point Nursery. It was a decisive series of wins that has been much overlooked, much denied, much dismissed by critics on the left who don't want to admit that what McConnell has wrought is a reestablishment of constitutional order, and our hats are off to him for that. Read the column at thewashingtonpost.com or listen to the interview with Hugh Hewitt yesterday, the podcast available to Apple, Spotify, iTunes. Get this rundown, of course, also at the Hugh Hewitt Show, highly concentrated Hugh. And then come right back here. I'll tell you about the Talkers, the terrific Talkers tournament that we're having right now. If you register, whenever they put it up at my website, come have lunch with me in D.C. I'll talk to you shortly, America. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. New York Post and Washington Examiner columnist Selena Zito is here. A little bit delayed. The Inzer report could not fall on Monday. It was a national holiday celebrating the 5th of July, delayed from the 4th of July. But Selena's back for the Inzer report. Good morning, Selena.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Now, you've written about Bourbon and Rumsfeld, which kind of go together, if you ask me. And I like both those columns, but I have a more important and pressing question. There's a story in the Washington Post this morning that the headline is good news. The weddings are back on. Bad news. You have to go to all of them. Now, you might be Italian, right? So Italians kind of do weddings a different way than most people. Am I right?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably.
Do the words over the top come to mind?
Yeah, we do everything over the top. Yeah,
you've got a soup name for the wedding, for goodness sake. And you make it on Christmas. So everybody likes wedding soup. But I'm asking you, in your humble opinion, as an Italian-American patriot who has raised children and gone to weddings and all the nine yards, is the wedding stuff out of control in Pittsburgh, too?
Not the weddings that I have gone to, but I know that you mean like people doing like the destination weddings and things like that?
I mean the bride's going away to a different city and the groomsmen going away for a bachelor party somewhere other than Vegas. And then the general, hoopla. This is the year where a lot of weddings got canceled. So the Post is covering the rescheduling and wedding fatigue. And so I think it's out of control that people are going to all these weddings. I think they ought to just tell their friends no.
Yeah, that is true. There is a lot of that. And, you know, I don't get the whole go away to a different city and the bachelor parties in different towns, the bachelorette parties in different towns and all these sort of sub parties and these sub parties. It is way, way over the top. I mean, the most important thing, if you live anywhere between Pittsburgh and Youngstown, is if you have a good cookie table.
I agree. But I understand the millennials want to do it. But I am also thinking you get to do one, maybe two a year. You can't. The Post has a guy who's been to seven of these things. Seven weddings on the calendar, done or coming up this year. That's nuts.
That is absolutely excessive.
No, excuse me. He had 10, but three of these he's not going to. So he's doing 7 out of 10. And, you know, I don't mind out-of-town weddings. I don't mind going away, driving somewhere. I just think that if you do 7 out of 10 weddings, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's absolutely nuts. First of all, you'd be broke.
He is. Mr. Tressler is broke. He complains about that. Although I wonder, who's his financial planner?
Is there a budget in the financial planners for weddings? I mean, that's, I guess, the second thing. Do you have to put, you know, a budget in your yearly budget for going to weddings?
Listen to this line. For some reason, of course, the mental burden of wedding attendance comes after the event. Through the pandemic has slowed in some parts of the country, a wedding could still turn into a super spreader event. But for many, the hardest part has been the expense. Santos, the founder of a beauty tech company, is limiting herself to 4 new dresses that she'll wear twice each. All right, how about one dress that you wear 8 times?
Yeah, that's insane. I can't even... I can't even imagine that. First of all, I would wear the same dress to all 8 weddings.
Of course you would. No one will care. No one will notice you're not the bride.
Yeah, absolutely. You aren't supposed to outdo everyone. You're supposed to be there in attendance to show respect and unity for their couple as they celebrate one of the most sacred sacraments that they're going to be part of. And it's not about going over the top. It's not about the dress. It's not about the hotel that you stay in or what you're going to be drinking. It's about the sacrament of marriage and how sacred that is.
Oh, you're so old form. Yeah, that's very old school, Selena. I just always think on the occasion of stories like this, that God's greatest gift to men was the blue blazer, because the blue blazer is ubiquitous. And honest to goodness, the uniform, although I have perfected, is a timeless choice. And I am so glad that, you know, in all my years of television and public work, that I did not have to wardrobe other than the uniform and the wedding deal. Four dresses worn twice. That's just crazy, Selena. I think you need to report on this in Yinzerland. Maybe Pittsburgh has remained an island of common sense.
You know, something, again, it's about the cookie table here. But, you know, the blue blazer is like the little black dress.
The little black dress. Selena Zito, always good to talk to you. Go read about Bourbon and Rumsfeld, Selena Zito, or go to selenazito.com. I'm coming right back, America. Lots more ahead on today's Wednesday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. It's Wednesday, July the 7th. I'm inside the Beltway. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Now, either I have misspelled Jake Sherman, or I have somehow missed my Punch Bowl AM, because it's not in my inbox this morning, Jake Sherman, so I'm going to have to rely on you to tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so listen, we're just, you know, we're taking it a little bit easy this week. I'm finishing up the production right now because it's a congressional recess. Most of our audience is off, I would say, a good chunk of it. So we're taking advantage of that and taking it a little easy.
Oh, that's okay. So I haven't been graylisted. I haven't been shadow banned. I'm still part of the Punch Bowl universe.
You are still part of the very much part of the Punch Bowl universe. Too. We are just, you know, we figured we could take a little bit of a break this week and take it a little bit slow.
Well, you know, inquiring minds want to know what's in punchbowlnews.com every time you're on, Jake. So I'm going to leave it to you. What are you writing about? Because I told the people at the beginning of the show in the first hour, nothing's going on. And so I covered the Supreme Court. You know, I covered the wedding story. I've done, you know, I'm not doing hard news. There is an assassination maybe in Haiti, which I'll cover tomorrow, and the Microsoft contract being canceled at the Pentagon. There are a couple of bits of news, but it's high summer, so it's low news.
That's right. So here's what we wrote this morning. We wrote about President Joe Biden is going to Crystal Lake, Illinois today, which is third trip that he's taken in the last couple weeks to swing districts or Republican districts. I find that interesting. Now, do I think that means something larger about his political popularity? I don't. I don't think that it means, I'm not convinced it means anything specifically. I just think that presidents tend to go to places where they are popular and where they have won. And this is the third place, in addition to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and Traverse City, Michigan, that Biden's going to a place that he's not won. So I find that interesting.
Well, I imagine they're trying to hold back the landslide next year in November, but it's a little bit early. Yesterday, I saw him promise to go door to door, send the feds door to door to get the vaccine out. And Jake, how do you think that'll work? Hi, I'm from the government. I want to give you a shot. You think you're going to do that?
Well, I was just talking to Dwayne about this. I hear your point. I think that they're not saying that they're coming around with needles. I think what he's saying is they're coming around to boost the virus. To boost the vaccine and to convince people to get it, which I think is a worthwhile experiment to get, a worthwhile activity to get the vaccine.
Jake, let me press you on vaccinated. This. The last time you answered the door at Casa Sherman, was it a little bit warily?
I do answer the door warily always. That's just because I don't like human beings. So,
yeah, that's it. Well, nobody does. This is America in 2021. Nobody likes anybody who comes to the door. It's kind of a different world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, so listen, unfortunately, in this country, we have a situation in which people are not getting vaccinated and are hesitant to get the vaccine. And I think the administration is trying to figure out ways to get the vaccine. I think various Republican politicians, Mitch McConnell has relied on a line where he says, you know, somehow there's white Republican men who are not getting the vaccine, and take it from me, get the vaccine. I've gotten the vaccine for polio. He said that he is a polio survivor. So, you know, I don't know. I kind of think that I hear the concern about people knocking at the door. But, you know, that's just, I think they're trying to figure out ways to get it done. And I don't know if they're actually going to send people door to door, but I hear the hesitation there. I get that.
Let me give you a suggestion. I every day in every way I can, I encourage people to get a vaccine because I think it's crazy to gamble with life and death issues and with the members of your family who might get an asymptomatic transmission from you. So people need to get vaccinated or they're rolling the dice on their life. And I've got another friend in the hospital as we speak with COVID. Another one. I mean, I'm in double digits with friends, and I think he's recovering, and I'm glad to hear it. But I did lose a friend, and I've lost colleagues, and I just don't want it to happen. And so I encourage everyone. But I have not yet seen the president go in harm's way. For example, he's welcome on this show anytime to talk just about the vaccine. Anytime. I will accept the limit. I had Andy Slavin on with Lonnie Chen. All we did was talk about the vaccine. I'll throw in with that. I'll put up guardrails so he doesn't have to worry. He does not go in harm's way, Jake. So if he wants to make a dent, he ought to be out there on center-right media talking to the center-right population. I also think he also needs to go back on with urban radio, because the number one demographic that is not getting the jab is the African-American community. That's number one. And so there are two, and number two is conservative rural America. The two ways to get to those two people are radio, urban, and talk. So until and unless he does both of those a lot, I'm not taking him seriously.
I hear you on that. This president, I will say this just as a broad, I couldn't speak to their strategy on this or on anything else, but my observation is he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He doesn't do a lot of one-on-one sit-down interviews. Obviously, Trump was the anomaly, right? He did a ton of one-on-one interviews over his 4 years in office, probably more in 4 years than any president does in 8 years, I would imagine. But Biden hasn't done that. I think Kamala Harris has done some of that, but obviously the vice president is not as powerful or as big as the president of the United States. So I get that.
And I, by the way, I believe in the public interest. You can find a half dozen center right or real conservative talkers that will put guardrails on the interview. Obviously, he's not. Look, I had Senator Biden on years ago. He's a terrific guy to talk to, fun, combative in a fun way, just a good interview. He's not that anymore. So we'll put up guardrails, you know, bumpers in the bowling alley, no gutter balls. But in the public interest, you ought to go out and try. And on the African-American urban radio side, they'll throw him softballs to get this out, Jake. They got him in a padded room.
I hear you on that. I mean, I'm not sure what their strategy is. I mean, I think that, and I think that they think, and I think they've said this before, that he might not be the best messenger on a lot of these things. So, you know, I think they think there are better conduits than him. But, you know, the president of the United States, no matter who he is still a powerful,
Yeah, but, you know, they got it. I love Anthony Fauci. I saw him on with Chuck Todd this weekend, and it's beyond diminishing returns. It's a turnoff.
Well, because I think a lot of people just are a lot of when you hear from the same person over and over again.
Yeah, it's not a reflection on Dr. Fauci. He was great in the beginning, and you can only play the record so many times.
Agreed. I agree with that part. I agree with that. Listen, I think that's the same with congressional leaders. You know, I think that people get sick. I've heard people get sick of Republicans say Mitch McConnell's got to go. This one's got to go. I mean, I think that's just a function of public life. So, yeah.
Well, I would encourage him to go find faith leaders and people like that. But Ron Klain can go do Meet the Press. Yeah, chief of staff can go talk to Meet the Press. And he's a very skilled combatant in the media wars. He can come on this show. He can do that, and people will write it up, and it will spread word.
I'm surprised he hasn't come on this show.
I get along with Ron. He'll eventually show up. But right now, when they're trying to get people to get vaccinated, there are two places to go, urban. So let me talk to you a little bit, Jake, about the Supreme Court term. My column in the Post today is about the Supreme Court breaking up for the summer. It was a huge year of wins for the center-right, for originalism, for conservatives. I don't know if that got through. Do you think that got through? It was a huge win, and it's all on Mitch McConnell. He held open the Scalia seat. He got the three Trump nominees confirmed. It's his victory lap time.
I think people who are involved in conservative judicial circles and who are involved in politics understand that the impact that he has had on the court. I don't think that everyday people understand that. I just simply don't. I think people see the Supreme Court as kind of this obtuse and far off institution. And I think that it's tough to draw a straight line for most voters. I mean, maybe there's a bunch of voters who make that connection. I don't think a ton of voters do, though. And I think that.
Oh, you know, interesting, Jake. We really disagree on this. I think the pivotal 5% are Supreme Court motivated voters on the right. I don't know about the left. I've been doing this for 30 years, and this audience, and it's 6 million a week, this audience cares a lot about the court, and they vote. And I think Donald Trump won in 2016 because of McConnell keeping the Scalia seat open. 100% convicted on that. Last word to you.
Yeah, I think that's fair for some voters. I think we in the media make a lot of it, but I think perhaps people are more attuned than they've been before just because of how public it's been the last couple of years.
So have a good vacation. Are you going to take a week off?
I am not taking a week off. I might take a week off later this summer, but, you know, Punch Bowl readers need their news. So.
Oh, they do. I'm so glad to hear. It's just that you're a little bit late today. Okay, sleep in a bit. But I normally need it by 7 a.m. for the show, Jake. Honest to goodness, you're working for me. Don't forget. Jake Sherman and Punch Bowl News, punchbowlnews.com. Don't go anywhere, America. I'm too good. I'll be right back. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining me this morning. Josh Kroshauer is with the National Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at Hotline Josh. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Hugh.
I just had Lonnie Chen on, who has declared for the 2022 California Comptroller's race. And if any Republican can ever win again in California, it's probably Lonnie. What do you put the odds at that, though? It's still such a deep blue state.
Yeah, look, if there's any Republican that can compete in California, he's the kind of Republican that can do it. Big time, you know, Mitt Romney advisor, teacher and professor at Stanford University at the Hoover Institution. He's got a great profile. California's a very blue state. He's actually coming on my podcast this week to talk about his campaign. So I'll learn a little bit more about what his message is going to be. But look, California is a deep blue state. So any statewide challenge is going to be difficult for any Republican, but he does have the profile to make it interesting.
What is going to be unfortunate is that Comptroller has proven to be a springboard for Phil Angelides and others to higher office races, and the teachers unions and maybe the tribes and certainly the prison guards, all of the big public employee unions and special interests in California will see that, and they may turn their big guns on him because there's nothing else to shoot at.
Yeah, I mean, fiscal discipline isn't exactly practiced very effectively in California. That's part of, the state treasurer job in California, but the comptroller kind of focuses on the budget. And there's been a lot of waste, but there are a lot of people who benefit from that excess spending. So it's a challenge. I mean, the question is there going to be any kind of backlash in California to one-party rule for and not just one-party rule, but the Democratic Party in California has moved increasingly to the left as they amass more and more power. So the question is there going to be a backlash? Is there any check on that power? Chen is probably the best candidate to provide that check, to be the kind of Republican that the moderates can support.
I asked him about the L.A. homeless crisis because L.A. has voted billions of dollars in special assessments and bonds to take care of it. And it gets worse. He said $50 billion has been spent in California over the past decade on homelessness, and the problem has become systemic and endemic. And that is kind of the issue I would run on if I were anyone running in the recall. I'd run on homelessness. It just drives everybody crazy, and there is no even tentative solution in one part of the state, much less the whole state.
Yeah, see, one of the challenges is taking a position like a controller and making it relevant to the big issues that a lot of California voters are facing. You mentioned homelessness. That's an issue I'm sure he'll be talking about. But can you kind of talk about the budget or you know, the notion of fiscal issues and kind of make it relevant to some of the issues that the big cities in California are facing with homelessness, crime? Is there a way to connect those two with the office itself?
I think it's five words, Josh. I'd love your reaction. Where did the money go? That's what the controller is all about. Where did the money go? And if he can make that his campaign, people wonder, where the hell did all that money go? That's why I left California. You pay an enormous geography tax in California, a geographic assessment that is staggering. And you look up and you go to downtown L.A. like I did in February, and you see basically zombie apocalypse. And you wonder, where did the money go?
Yeah, and there's a lot of inequality in the state of California. The rich get richer, and yet it's harder to make ends meet if you're in the middle class, if you're in the working class. So if you can connect that to corruption or, you know, poor choices in spending, I mean, it's a powerful message. It's the type of message that can win over not just Republicans, but a lot of moderate Democrats.
I think it's mostly paralysis. I don't think it's corruption. I think it's paralysis and bureaucracy. But let me ask you quickly, Josh. Do you think there's a chance Newsom succumbs? There is right now a third wave hitting India, a fourth wave hitting parts of the world. California is going to get the Delta variant everywhere. They may have to shut down again. If that happens, what happens to Newsom in the recall in September?
Well, you know, I think his political standing has been bolstered by the fact that COVID is going away. And if I know California does have a pretty high rate of vaccinations. So, you know, I'm sort of skeptical that you're going to see any major wave. If there is a problem, surely it would hurt him politically. But look, I think the bigger issue for the recall election is that the Republicans don't have their act together in that recall. You know, Caitlyn Jenner announced her campaign, hasn't really done a lot of campaign events, hasn't really even done a lot of media events, even with friendly outlets. You know, the mayor of San Diego, former mayor Kevin Falconer, is the type of Republican like Lonnie Chen that actually has a message of executive competence, who actually won elections in a bluish city of San Diego, and yet he's been overlooked. He's been totally ignored because of Jenner's candidacy. So, you know, I think California would have been an opportunity for at least Republicans to have a message, to reorient their message on that Lonnie Chen line. But with Jenner's campaign really taking up all the oxygen and being more of a circus show, really, I think it's deprived the Republicans in California of actually getting their act together.
I think Kevin Kline's getting in as well. I think that Mayor Falconer is going to surge. Like Jenner's at low single digits.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I don't think. Attention. Yeah, I just think Falconer, Kline, maybe another late entrant. We will wait and see. And we'll check back with you. Follow him at Hotline Josh. Follow me tomorrow, America. Thank you, Adam and Ben. Thank you, Harley and Dwayne. Thanks, all of you, for listening. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I'll be back tomorrow on the next Hugh Hewitt Show. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin and Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that 3-week starter pack, $19.95.